Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you here in the Kia Studios on this Wednesday evening with you for the full four. We ask you to download the Odyssey app. You're not in the car as much, but you want to listen in. Put the Odyssey app on one of your devices today. Take your smartphone, take your Alexa speakers, take your tablet, take your Palm Pilot, your BlackBerry, your Nextel, whatever your device is. Just download it on something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, best way to be a part of the show is to follow us through our personal Twitter pages. I'm at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. On the other side of the glass, producing the show, as always, Day Day is in the house at DD Lewis for real. Well, Braves are in the midst of a doubleheader here as game number two is quickly approaching the end. Right now, Braves up 6-5 here in the top of the eighth inning. Dylan Dodd started today. Let's talk about game one first, though, before we get to what happened in game two. Let me put it to you like this. The Detroit Tigers came into today's game having hit the fourth fewest homers in Major League Baseball, and they had scored the fewest runs in Major League Baseball. Let me repeat that. They had come into the game with the fourth fewest homers in Major League Baseball and the fewest runs scored in Major League Baseball. And they've been able to put up 7 runs in game one, 5 runs in game two here. It's been pitching optional today, right? So the Braves did win 10-7. They battered the Detroit Tigers. Olsen, the starter for the Tigers, 3 1/3, 7 runs, 6 of them earned, and he threw 89 pitches and got battered around. Strider, though, another rough outing. 5 innings, 7 hits, 5 earned runs, couple of walks, 6 strikeouts, and 3 homers given up. Let me repeat. The Tigers had the fourth fewest homers and the fewest runs scored in Major League Baseball coming into today. And they got 7 in game one, hit 3 homers, and kind of took it to... Now, look, Strider got the win because the offense got it really cranked up, right? Ronnie hit a home run. Michael Harris hit a home run. And they just kind of battered. They were 5-for-11 with runners in scoring position in that first game. Michael Harris was 4-for-4 with 3 runs scored and 4 RBI. Looks like he's getting himself back on track, right? You know, now it's starting to catch up. Now he's up, and we kind of joke about this, but now he's up to 227. Things are progressing quickly, I should say. Oh, yeah, Arcia, 2-for-4 with a couple of runs and a couple of RBI. That's 7, 8, and 9. We've talked – how many times have we talked about this, Day-Day? 7, 8, and 9. They were 6 for 12, 6 runs scored, 7 RBI in Game 1. 6 runs and 7 RBI for the 7, 8, and 9 hitters today. How many times – when they get it cooking, I don't care what you do or what's going on, they win. You get those guys cranked up at the bottom of the – again, I know Ronnie and Olsen and Riley and Darnell and Murphy and Rosario and this and that and Ozuna and blah, 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 blah. I know about all the guys at the top. But whatever combination that they put together at the bottom of their order, if those guys, when those guys get it cranked up and going, you ain't beating the Braves. So Strider didn't pitch all that well, but got the win for it. Even with 5 innings and 5 earned runs – he still found a way to win. So good news for the bullpen was really good in Game 1. They were pretty good in Game 1. I mean, Chavez, Yates, Minter, Anderson, Iglesias, that's the 4 guys that pitched in Game 1, and they gave you 4 innings of 2-run ball and did their job and hung on against the Detroit Tigers in Game 2. Now we fast forward here to Game number 1. Now we fast forward to Game number 2. And right now it's 6-5 in the top of the 8th inning. Braves up the bat, obviously. Dylan Dodd, 4 innings, 6 hits, 5 earned runs, 3 homers. So Day-Day, did I mention that the Tigers had hit the 4th fewest homers in Major League Baseball going into today?
Yes, you did.
They've hit 6 homers in 2 games. 6. They've only hit, I think it was 54 for the season. So they've gotten 10% of their home run total to this point in the 2 games today. The 2 starters for the Braves, 9 innings, 10 earned runs, 6 homers given up. And I really thought that Strider would have that bounce, just like Charlie Morton did the other night in that bounce back game that the Braves blew. Morton was outstanding, 5 2/3, no runs given up. 8 of his 17 outs were via no contact. I thought he pitched really well. Unfortunately, Strider couldn't die. I said last night I thought Strider was going to go 6 innings and have 13 strikeouts. I think he was going to give up 13 homers, it felt like.
Yeah, you put that bad juju on him.
Yeah, I did. Well, again, I must have put it on Dodd and, you know, other people as well because, yeah, their starting pitching gave up a lot. Did I tell you that the Tigers hit the 4th fewest homers and scored the fewest runs in Major League Baseball? And they got 10 runs off our 2 starters? 10 runs and 6 homers off our 2 starters.
Yep.
But listen, thankfully, the Tigers are a dreadful organization. You know, when I was growing up, the Tigers were really good. I don't know if anybody was alive long enough to have seen the 84 Tigers, but they were pretty good, weren't they? Yeah. Willie Hernandez and Kurt Gibson and Alan Trammell and Lou Whitaker and, you know, all kinds of guys that they had. Chet Lemon and guys like that. Oh, yeah, it's like they won the World Series in 84, right? Jack Morris is one of their starters, you know. Their starter for the Tigers, Lorenzen, 6 innings, 9 hits, 6 earned runs, and he gave up 3 homers. Rosario's homered, Albies is homered, Ronnie hit another home run. Now this game, the Braves are 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position. Haven't taken advantage nearly as much as what they could have. But again, the bottom of the order, 7, 8, and 9, Ozzy, Arcia, Michael Harris. Arcia's another 2-for-4 with 2 runs. Ozzy's 2-for-4 with a couple of runs and an RBI. So in total, the bottom of the order in this game is 4-for-11, 2 runs, and 3 RBI. Again, you're not going to beat the Braves when they get that bottom of the order cranked up. You know, they can fight through some of their struggles, you know, with their pitching and such. But when they get the bottom of the order cranked up and going, because again, we know Ronnie, Olsen, Riley, right? Those guys are going to hit. Those guys are going to hit and produce. We ain't worried about them at all. But when they get that bottom of the order cranked up, things are a lot different. And this is where we talk about that depth of that lineup. We've been talking about this all year, just how good the depth of that lineup is. And then when you add Rosario playing well, he's 2 for 3 with a couple of runs and an RBI today. When you have Marcell Ozuna, who's been arguably maybe their second best hitter since the start of the month of May, when you get everybody kind of cranked up going, and listen, we're still kind of waiting for Austin Riley to break loose, right? You know, Matt Olson is, he's down to 229. You know, even with those guys, they're still scoring a ton of runs because the bottom of the order, when it gets it together, it produces, and you're just not going to beat the Braves at that point. So hopefully here for the Braves, and I think Jimenez is in now, hopefully for the Braves that they find a way to hang on to this game and take care of the sweep and the doubleheader, and then they will come back home to face another last-place team, the Colorado Rockies. I hadn't even looked up the Rockies' numbers, but here's what I know. The Rockies are a last-place team in that Western division. And right now they sit, hold please, they sit 13 games out of first place. Now they've won 3 in a row, so give them some credit. They've won 3 in a row, but they're 13 games out, 29-40. They have a minus 67 run differential. Oh, by the way, that's the worst run differential in the National League. And you know why they're not the worst run differential in baseball? Because the Oakland A's are, ready for this one, minus 192. Minus 192 for the god-awful, should-be-ashamed-of-themselves Oakland A's organization. That's why they're not the worst. And by the way, the Royals are a minus 104 themselves. They're awful. And the Tigers are a minus 85 as well. So, again, they'll play a last-place team in the Colorado Rockies here. For the Braves, it's getaway day, so they come back home starting tomorrow in a series against the Rockies, a four-game set. Hawks today, they did announce their coaching staff, so it is official that they have everybody in place. Brian Bailey, Mike Bray, Brittany Donaldson, Steve, is it Cly? Kokoskov, Antonio Lang, Sanjay Lumpkin, is it Ikpe Oda, and Jeff Watkinson have joined the coaching staff. So that rounds up your official coaching staff for the Atlanta Hawks. Nobody left from last year, huh? You know, even with Joe Prunty, you know, going 2-0, and nobody left over from last season. So, and again, Brittany Donaldson, of course, you know, the analytics person and the first female assistant coach ever in Atlanta Hawks history. So good for all the assistant coaches. Now they got their work cut out for them. And we're going to talk about the Hawks here in just a couple of minutes. We're going to get you involved in some Hawks talk here. But we'll talk to our friend of the show, Lauren Williams. She is the Hawks beat reporter, the AJC. And, of course, 1 week from tomorrow is the NBA draft. So good to the coaching staffs all together. We'll talk with Lauren about what may be looking for in the draft. We'll have the draft show next Thursday night. It'll be Caleb Johnson, Sparty, and myself. So I got to step in between before those guys start throwing haymakers and fisticuffs and everything. It may be an ugly scene. Maybe an ugly scene between Caleb and Sparty. I don't know. I mean, those guys are really intense, and they like to come after one another, so I'll have to keep them all separated. All right, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Want to get you involved in this conversation. Trey tweeted it. Do you believe it? It's up next, Chuck Reed in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Wednesday evening with you. We'll talk to Lauren Williams coming up in about 20 minutes from now. Our buddy Bill Bender, national college football writer for the Sporting News, he's going to join us at 8:20 as the SEC has released its schedule for 2024. So Georgia's got games, at Texas and at Bama. And by the way, too, I think the big news is that we get Texas A&M back in 2024. That's a rivalry that should never have gone away. But, again, politics and everything else, you know, again, and money, obviously, that's the driving force of everything. So we'll talk to Bill Bender coming up and talk some college football with him at 8:20. All right, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Trae Young put out a tweet the other day, and it got the internet all abuzz with it, okay? Good, bad, ugly, otherwise, whatever like that. So I guess Michael Porter Jr., who he's friends with from the Denver Nuggets, Porter was joking about Trae Young being jealous in this, then, and the other, about the Nuggets, you know, getting to a higher level than what the Atlanta Hawks have gotten to. And Trae Young at 11:31 p.m. on June 12th in the year of our Lord, 2023, tweeted out, "We next," with an exclamation point and then a ring and a champion, you know, a trophy, I should say. A ring, like a diamond ring and a trophy for emojis next to it. So here's what I'm asking, 404-726-0929. Can we be a championship-caliber team? Now, obviously, let's start first with the Trae Young tweet, okay? I like the fact that he's got some moxie and puts that stuff out there. Now, I know that there are a lot of nudniks that are going to, you know, save that tweet, bookmark it, have it for, you know, future. What's that, what is it, freezing cold takes and, you know what I mean, like, people are going to overreact. And if they don't win the NBA title next year, people are going to be like, well, see? Okay. But again, you know, Jaylen Brown made a comment about the idea that the Hawks could have been a higher seed if they had shown the same intensity that they had throughout the series with the Celtics. Wouldn't Jaylen Brown look good in a Hawks uniform? Anyway. You know, look. I like the idea of Trae talking about this and putting it out there in the universe. I got no problem with this. I want my star player to be thinking bigger fish to fry, not just kind of small potatoes. But it's also got to be backed up, right? I mean, from the standpoint of you can't talk about winning a title and then say that the regular season doesn't matter. And we're a 500 team, and we're the 8 and 9 seed, and have to struggle bus our way into the play-in through the play-in tournament just to get in round one. Just to what are we? I think we are 3-8 in the last 2 years in the first round of the NBA playoffs. Right, 3-8. Hawks won 2 games this year, and they won 1 game the year before. So 3-8 over the last 2 years. That's not going to get it done. And we've talked about the expectations of the Atlanta Hawks. And I thought a lot of people brought up a good point about, hey, let's be a second-round playoff team. I think that should be the minimum expectation. I'm not expecting this Hawks team to go out and win the NBA title next year. I don't think it's realistic. Maybe you do, 404-726-0929. You know, if Trae Young shoots the ball better, if they play really well, if they can find some support for him, whatever that's going to be, I certainly think that DeJounte Murray, and again, we talked about the fact that all of these rumors that are floating around that, well, if the right deal comes along, DeJounte Murray could be moved. Yeah, every player in the NBA, if the right deal comes along, could be moved. If the right deal comes along. Yeah, I mean, what's the right deal, though? Like, how often do you get the right deal when you're talking about star-caliber players? So, again, that's kind of a total non-story. But, you know, we just talked about Quinn Snyder and his, you know, coaching staff. There's no more remnants from the Nate McMillan era. There's no remnants of the stench of the Nate McMillan era at all. Everybody's gone. I don't even know if the ball boys are back from Nate McMillan. I don't even know if the beer vendors are going to be back from Nate McMillan's, you know, time here. They may just clean. They may not even bring back the guys that sweep the floor and sweep the sweat off the towel off the sweat on the floor. They may not even bring those people back. That's how much they're cleaning house. And obviously this roster has to have some kind of shakeup to it. Obviously this roster has to have something happen to it. But whatever that is, if it's bringing a Jaylen Brown in or tweaking it a little bit or maybe finally moving on from John, whatever it is, something has to be different. It can't just be that Quinn Snyder has a chance now to work with Trey and DeJounte and makes everything better. Has to be more than that. Something has to kind of kickstart this. And again, we need our star player to buy in and be that guy. Because look, we've joked about this. Too often it's been as Trey goes, the Hawks go. And I can understand that when you have a star player. I mean, I'm sure Dallas fans say the same thing. You know, as Luka goes, the Dallas Mavericks go. And we saw glimpses where, okay, Trey had some off-shooting nights and the Hawks still won. You know, whether it's Murray leading them, whether it was Hunter leading them, whatever. But when you look at this roster, we haven't gotten better over the last couple of years. We haven't found that consistent next piece to go along with Trae Young. John Collins has regressed. Clint Capella is who he is. DeAndre Hunter isn't consistent enough. You know, let's hope that that's Murray, because I think Murray is an outstanding player, and if he buys in and he's here for the long term, and I really hope that they find a way to give, and by the way, Braves win. So they sweep the doubleheader, and they hang on to win 6-5. Wasn't the prettiest of two games, but two victories nonetheless. You know, we'll look back 3 months from now and laugh about this, about the struggles against the Detroit Tigers when the Braves are 15 games up in the division. But anyway, 404-726-0929. Your thoughts about this, because, look, I like the idea of talking about championship teams. And that starts with the regular season, though. That starts with setting the tone in the regular season and not digging yourself a hole that you have to end up at the end of the year having to climb out of. You know, again, you're in that fakakta play-in tournament, and yes, you beat the Miami Heat, and then you have to take on one of the best teams in the NBA. You know, that's just not the road to be on. We've talked about this. That's not the road you want to be on when you're talking about being a championship-caliber team. You know, that's not the way you want this thing to play itself out. There's no reason why we can't be a top 3-4, even with the way that our roster is constructed now. And, yes, there are flaws and warts and everything else with it. But you see, though, that this team at times can play with anybody in the NBA. Again, in a one-game scenario in Miami, they knocked off the Miami Heat. They knocked them off. And the Heat were forced to win another play-in game and take on the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. And, You know, it's again, it's, you know, they made their run to the NBA Finals from there. So I don't know if we're going to win the NBA Finals. And I don't, again, I would tell you that we're not going to be a NBA champion next year. But one is, I like the fact that our star player is putting this out there in the universe, that he's speaking it. And that all starts with getting in the gym, having a big offseason, getting with Coach Snyder, getting everybody involved. I mean, Trae Young talked about on his podcast the other day about the idea of getting guys involved, about, you know, well, I need to lead the league in assists to get guys involved. Yeah, but it's more than that. You know, it's the idea of setting the example and setting the tone. What do they say, Day-Day? A rising tide lifts all ships.
Yep.
Right? So if he plays well, that lifts everybody up. You know, not even so much the stats and the numbers and things like that. If he plays well, everybody else gets elevated for it. And that's when we get good. And that's when we can do some damage. And so even if you told me that they brought this same group back, wouldn't be excited about it, wouldn't be happy. I think there's got to be some kind of change and maybe add some more star power to it. But even then, this group does have the ability that when they play well together, they can beat anybody in the NBA. And we see it at times, right? I mean, we see these moments where, you know, Golden State come in here, they take care of business. You know, last year when the Phoenix Suns were the number one seed, clear-cut number one seed in the Western Conference, and they were, you know what, I think the best road team. They had won like 10 straight road games. And then MLK Day, they come in to play Atlanta, and the Hawks just take all control of them the whole game, just controlled them the whole way through. So when they get it together, they can play against, you know, with anybody. They can beat anybody. And hopefully Quinn Snyder, I've said, you know, his deal has to be he's got to get this team going in the regular season. It can't be waiting until the end to get it cranked up and get it going and then figure out a way to get in the FACACTA play-in tournament and win a game or two in there and then have to take on the best team in the Eastern Conference or the second best team in the Eastern Conference and then be behind the eight ball. Can't be that way this year. That narrative has to change for this Hawks team. This has to be a team that, and look, everybody has their off nights. Sam Mitchell and I used to talk about this all the time. You're not going to get 82 games a year of good basketball. You're not. You're going to have off nights. You're going to have nights where guys don't want to, you know, aren't really motivated to play. It's natural. It's human nature. And I don't fault the guys for that. But there's no reason to have been in the position that we've been in the last 2 years where we're barely hanging on, you know, a couple of years ago in the playoffs. And again, it felt like we were just even fighting for a playoff spot this year. To not even get a playoff spot, get into that FACACTA, you know, I use that word, FACACTA, play-in tournament, where we just kind of linger and we feel like we're, you know, lucky to be, you know, in that thing. And that's not where we want to live. No reason why we can't be a top 3, 4, 5 seed, especially with, you know, again, a lot of coaches in the Eastern Conference that are changing all up. You have the Milwaukee Bucks who have a new coach, right? The Boston Celtics were in the NBA Finals a couple years ago, and they've got, you know, they just had a first-year coach, right? Nick Nurse is gone. He's a championship coach. Who else am I missing? Doc Rivers is gone, right? And they're bringing in Nick Nurse, you know? So, I mean, again, you're getting a lot of upheaval in the Eastern Conference. And, yeah, there are some teams that are on the rise, but you wonder about Philadelphia. You know, Philadelphia's been perennial, you know, top three seed in the Eastern Conference. Okay, well, it's meant nothing. And, you know, how much longer do you go with the Embiids and the Hardens and people like that and, you know, the fact that they can't win? No reason why the Hawks shouldn't be one of those teams high up in the Eastern Conference. So I like the idea of Trae Young putting it out there in the universe. I like the moxie that he has with this. Now let's go out and figure out a way to get it done. Now let's figure out a way to coach and play and do everything we can to get to that kind of level. And if we fall a little bit short, no problem. We just keep building. But we've got to build off of the momentum from 1 year to the next. That's something we haven't done over the last handful of years with this organization. All right, Lauren Williams is going to join us up next, a beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Her thoughts about where we're at in the offseason. Chuck in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Wednesday evening with you. Well, we are a week and a day away as the NBA draft will take place coming up next Thursday. We'll have coverage from State Farm Arena. It will be Caleb Johnson, our Hawks reporter for 92.9 The Game. Sparty, my guy Deshaun Tate, and myself, we will be at State Farm Arena covering all things Atlanta Hawks draft. We head out to the WadeFord.com hotline right now. We talk to our friend of the show, Lauren Williams, is the Hawks beat reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of her work, and she's on Twitter, at WilliamsLaurenL. Lauren, as always, appreciate it. Thanks for a few minutes here on the show tonight.
Of course, JC. Always a pleasure.
So what did you think about the coaching staff that Quinn Snyder put together? Very eclectic group. I thought it was a very interesting group and certainly kind of, you know, features analytical people and things like that. I mean, I thought it was a very interesting coaching staff that he's put together overall.
Absolutely. I think you can see that he was looking to kind of have a very diverse group of people in all facets of the word. And I think he values having so many different perspectives. And I think the fact that he's kind of embraced taking on some guys and women who are kind of on the younger end speaks to how much they want to develop this team. You have a guy like Mike Bray, who is not one of the youngsters, but he has coached a lot of youngsters, a former long-tenured coach at Notre Dame. So it's definitely an eclectic group, a very diverse group. And when I talked to him today to kind of get a sense of what he was looking for, he said that he just wanted a bunch of guys and women who were selfless, and they wanted them to kind of emulate what they were asking the team to be.
Lauren, are there any trends that we're picking up on with the players that have been brought in for pre-draft workouts and things like that? You know, the funny thing about AJ Griffin last year is they didn't even interview him. Like, he was not brought mm-hmm. in for a workout, and they didn't even interview AJ Griffin mm-hmm. last year. So do we get a sense that maybe there's some smoke screens that are being put up? Or, you know, what do you think about the trends are with the people that they've brought in for workouts?
Yeah, they've definitely brought in a lot of wings, a lot of guards, not a lot of big men, especially considering, you know, it seems like they're still pretty happy with Clint Capella and Onyeka Okongwu. I would have loved to have seen a few more big men in that group, especially if were to believe the rumors that are going to start coming out that, you know, they'll potentially move on from John Collins just because it's, you know, a yearly thing at this point. But, I think the fact that they brought in a lot of wings just kind of tells you that they're potentially looking for a lot of guys who can kind of fill that role. They're looking for a lot more shooting, especially because for much of the season last year, they didn't have a ton of that with Bogey kind of on that injured list there with that recovering from knee surgery. I think they're looking to bring in a lot more shooting. That's something that Quinn Snyder has always valued. When he came in last season, he said one of the things that he tried to build as one of this team's habits is just getting better spacing. And so I think if they're looking at a lot of these guys who can space the floor, that tells me that Quinn is looking for a system that's going to include a lot of shooting.
Lauren, do we anticipate the idea that the person drafted at 15 probably mostly ends up in College Park? Because you don't really have many open roster spots. And obviously, you know, again, you're developing the Jalen Johnsons and the A.J. Griffins that, you know, are going to need, you know, more significant playing time. Do we anticipate the person who's picked at 15 probably ends up in College Park?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they end up in College Park, but I also want to see them take a guy who could fight for a roster spot, who could be competitive in minicamp and potentially make them think harder about things. Of course, you're still developing, as you said, guys like Jalen Johnson and A.J. Griffin, but honestly, in the rotation, I think Jalen Johnson is pretty much in there, especially if they do decide to move on from John Collins. It's his spot to lose, in my opinion. So as far as AJ, I think it's going to be a lot more competitive for him just because you're always going to have Bogey ahead of him, a guy like Sadiq Bey, DeAndre Hunter, all of those guys that are kind of ahead of him in the lineup. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they do end up looking at a guy who's more of a project and they look to develop him long term.
Lauren Williams is the Hawks beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. How, more than what they do, whether they trade players, you know, whether they look at some free agent signings, whatever it is, how swiftly, though, do you think that the Hawks get something going? Because, again, you know, I was just talking about in the last segment that, you know, I think we all agree that there has to be some kind of shakeup. Like, this group as a whole, while they're talented, there's something missing. There's a chromosome that is missing in all of this. Do you think the Hawks get very swift in the moves that they make, or do they kind of sit back and watch the landscape of some of the other things that unfold?
I wouldn't be surprised if they try to sit back a little bit just because they do have to take in the assets that they have, and they do have to weigh every option when it comes to the pieces that they can potentially part with. I think they have a lot to think about just in terms of with John. They do have to realize that they likely won't get back what his salary may necessarily command. They might have to give up a lot of things in order to move on from that. But I think the big payoff with that is that you're able to dump a large part of what is pushing you toward that luxury tax there. So I think they have a lot of things to think about. I think they have a lot of options to weigh as far as what it is they think is that X factor as well that they need to move on from. So I anticipate them being a little bit more touch and go or see as it comes, as opposed to being aggressive come draft night or in the days leading up to the draft.
And you and I have talked about this several times, but I mean, isn't that the question? I mean, look, are they going to be a luxury tax team? Because they're $9 million in the luxury tax right now. And yep. I don't know how you get better at this point without dipping your toe. And look, you may not go neck deep in it, but you're $9 million in the luxury tax, even if you just bring everybody back. If you're not going to get into the luxury tax, I don't know how we become better. I don't know how we sign good players or trade for good players. Because, again, you can't, the way the NBA works, you can't just trade a really good player for just fish heads and rice and get that back. So, you know, again, isn't that, doesn't everything, I hate to say it this way, but doesn't everything revolve around, are we going to be a luxury tax team?
I think so. I think that's the big question right now, just because, as you said, you're going to have to spend money to bring in quality talent. And I think one of the big things that the Hawks is missing is kind of that veteran voice in the locker room. You'd love for it to be a guy like Bogey or Clint, but we saw last year, that's just not what their role was. And so in order for them to do that, they're going to have to spend money. And that means that they will, as you said, they have to dip their toe into the luxury tax. So I'm definitely agreeing with you on that one there.
So, you know, again, and I don't think that there's anything to this, but, you know, there's been a lot of people that have brought up the idea of DeJounte Murray, you know, being traded. And I asked this question about the idea of, and I talked about this a while back on my show, just if you're going to trade Murray, is it better that you trade him sooner than later? Because, again, if you can't get a contract worked out, obviously then you have to figure out what you're going to do based upon things you've given up, you know, as far as draft capital-wise. And obviously if it's, you know, if it's not working and you got to move on from him. But do you think that there's any fire to the smoke of the idea of, moving on from DeJounte Murray if the right package comes along?
I think you can never say never. If it's the right package, you have to do it, right? Regardless of how much you value it.
That's true for any player. Yeah, that's true for any player.
That's true for any player. So if it's the right deal, you have to take it. But it's hard for me to see them ready to move on from him so soon. I really do think Quinn Snyder and the rest of that coaching staff want to build out and see what both Trae Young and DeJounte Murray can do and try to turn it into the tandem that people imagined, that pick your poison type of offense. I think, you know, bringing aboard somebody like Igor Kokoschkov, who you've seen work as a head coach, he was in Phoenix. You know, again, Mike Bray, Brittany Donaldson, she worked with point guards in Detroit. I think bringing some of those coaches aboard will, you know, potentially help them develop this team, that backcourt tandem, into what I think they want them to be. But as far as Murray, I think he's kind of one of those trade deadline ideal candidates in the sense that he's on an expiring contract. So a team that's looking to make their push into the playoffs might want to take a gamble on him at that point. So I would say it would probably be better to wait if they decide that they want to move on from him, especially if they can't get a deal done.
I want to put your prognosticator hat on and you know, get your idea of, do you think that they offer Murray a contract over the summertime? Have you heard anything about, he's kind of adamant about becoming a free agent because he could, I mean, even though he can't get the extra year with a club, but he could probably come out better even with the new CBA, the way it's worded. He could probably come out better if he becomes a free agent and gets a deal. Have you heard anything about the idea of they're going to offer him a contract or they're going to, you know, he's going to walk into free agency? I mean, what do you think kind of his plan is for the next year here?
To be honest, I haven't heard a lot about where they are in terms of talking to him about deals or anything like that. But I can only go off what we've heard him say, and he's excited to try and work this thing out with Trae Young and try to get something going. I do think the season, when you think about it, was a little bit short for them to try and make something work. There was just so much upheaval, and I think they need a little bit more of a figuring out period. So I'm just going to go off of what he said to us in the public, and that's that he wants to try and get this thing going and make it work.
So, Lauren, the other thing is, you know, and this will forever, and whether it's fair or unfair, it's the perception is that when Trae Young made the statement a couple of years ago that, well, we don't really care about the regular season, it's all about the playoffs and this, that, and the other, fair or unfair, that ring is going to hang around the neck of Trae Young because they have played so poorly in the regular season. Is the idea of Quinn Snyder getting this team off to a fast start, getting them off to a good regular season? Because, again, the reason we have kind of put ourselves in the position that we have the last couple of years, even though we played Boston well, and but, again, because we didn't take care of our business in the regular season, we were kind of forced into some of the about having to beat the Heat and go up against Boston. How important is this regular season going to be for this club and Quinn Snyder?
I definitely think it's going to be important for them to get off on the right foot. Just as you said, we've seen them just not perform to the standard that we know that they're capable of. They've underperformed, in fact, in the last two regular seasons. So I think Quinn is going to want to come out and get them going on the right foot, and, you know, hopefully turn things around in a way that they can get into the playoffs in a better positioning than having to fight their way in.
What is the role of Nick Wrestler as you know it right now? I mean, forget what we've like that. What do you think his role is right now as we're into the off season with this organization?
I'll just say I do think he has a voice, and I do think his opinion, I think, naive to think that it doesn't, considering, you know, what his last name is. But I do think they have a lot of voices in that room, so it'll be interesting to see how loud Landry Fields and Kyle Korver's voices are when they're making that final pick.
Lauren Williams, she is the beat reporter for the Atlanta Hawks for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, AJC.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Wednesday evening with you. Well, we are a week and a day away as the NBA draft will take place coming up next Thursday. We'll have coverage from State Farm Arena. It will be Caleb Johnson, our Hawks reporter for 92.9 The Game. Sparty, my guy Deshaun Tate, and myself, we will be at State Farm Arena covering all things Atlanta Hawks draft. We head out to the WadeFord.com hotline right now. We talk to our friend of the show, Lauren Williams, is the Hawks beat reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of her work, and she's on Twitter, at WilliamsLaurenL. Lauren, as always, appreciate it. Thanks for a few minutes here on the show tonight.
Of course, JC. Always a pleasure.
So what did you think about the coaching staff that Quinn Snyder put together? Very eclectic group. I thought it was a very interesting group and certainly kind of, you know, features analytical people and things like that. I mean, I thought it was a very interesting coaching staff that he's put together overall.
Absolutely. I think you can see that he was looking to kind of have a very diverse group of people in all facets of the word. And I think he values having so many different perspectives. And I think the fact that he's kind of embraced taking on some guys and women who are kind of on the younger end speaks to how much they want to develop this team. You have a guy like Mike Bray, who is not one of the youngsters, but he has coached a lot of youngsters, a former long-tenured coach at Notre Dame. So it's definitely an eclectic group, a very diverse group. And when I talked to him today to kind of get a sense of what he was looking for, he said that he just wanted a bunch of guys and women who were selfless, and they wanted them to kind of emulate what they were asking the team to be.
Lauren, are there any trends that we're picking up on with the players that have been brought in for pre-draft workouts and things like that? You know, the funny thing about AJ Griffin last year is they didn't even interview him. Like, he was not brought in for a workout, and they didn't even interview AJ Griffin last year. So do we get a sense that maybe there's some smoke screens that are being put up? Or, you know, what do you think about the trends are with the people that they've brought in for workouts?
Yeah, they've definitely brought in a lot of wings, a lot of guards, not a lot of big men, especially considering, you know, it seems like they're still pretty happy with Clint Capella and Onyeka Okongwu. I would have loved to have seen a few more big men in that group, especially if were to believe the rumors that are going to start coming out that, you know, they'll potentially move on from John Collins just because it's, you know, a yearly thing at this point. But, I think the fact that they brought in a lot of wings just kind of tells you that they're potentially looking for a lot of guys who can kind of fill that role. They're looking for a lot more shooting, especially because for much of the season last year, they didn't have a ton of that with Bogey kind of on that injured list there with that recovering from knee surgery. I think they're looking to bring in a lot more shooting. That's something that Quinn Snyder has always valued. When he came in last season, he said one of the things that he tried to build as one of this team's habits is just getting better spacing. And so I think if they're looking at a lot of these guys who can space the floor, that tells me that Quinn is looking for a system that's going to include a lot of shooting.
Lauren, do we anticipate the idea that the person drafted at 15 probably mostly ends up in College Park? Because, you don't really have many open roster spots. And obviously, you know, again, you're developing the Jalen Johnsons and the A.J. Griffins that, you know, are going to need, you know, more significant playing time. Do you anticipate the person who's picked at 15 probably ends up in College Park?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they end up in College Park, but I also want to see them take a guy who could fight for a roster spot, who could be competitive in minicamp and potentially make them think harder about things. Of course, you're still developing, as you said, guys like Jalen Johnson and A.J. Griffin, but honestly, in the rotation, I think Jalen Johnson is pretty much in there, especially if they do decide to move on from John Collins. It's his spot to lose, in my opinion. So as far as AJ, I think it's going to be a lot more competitive for him just because you're always going to have Bogey ahead of him, a guy like Sadiq Bey, DeAndre Hunter, all of those guys that are kind of ahead of him in the lineup. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they do end up looking at a guy who's more of a project and they look to develop him long term.
Lauren Williams is the Hawks beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. How, more than what they do, whether they trade players, you know, whether they look at some free agent signings, whatever it is, how swiftly, though, do you think that the Hawks get something going? Because, again, you know, I was just talking about in the last segment that, you know, I think we all agree that there has to be some kind of shakeup. Like, this group as a whole, while they're talented, there's something missing. There's a chromosome that is missing in all of this. Do you think the Hawks get very swift in the moves that they make, or do they kind of sit back and watch the landscape of some of the other things that unfold?
I wouldn't be surprised if they try to sit back a little bit just because they do have to take in the assets that they have, and they do have to weigh every option when it comes to the pieces that they can potentially part with. I think they have a lot to think about just in terms of with John. They do have to realize that they likely won't get back what his salary may necessarily command. They might have to give up a lot of things in order to move on from that. But I think the big payoff with that is that you're able to dump a large part of what is pushing you toward that luxury tax there. So I think they have a lot of things to think about. I think they have a lot of options to weigh as far as what it is they think is that X factor as well that they need to move on from. So I anticipate them being a little bit more touch and go or see as it comes, as opposed to being aggressive come draft night or in the days leading up to the draft.
And you and I have talked about this several times, but I mean, isn't that the question? I mean, look, are they going to be a luxury tax team? Because they're $9 million in the luxury tax right now. And I don't know how you get better at this point without dipping your toe. And look, you may not go neck deep in it, but you're $9 million in the luxury tax, even if you just bring everybody back. If you're not going to get into the luxury tax, I don't know how we become better. I don't know how we sign good players or trade for good players. Because, again, you can't, the way the NBA works, you can't just trade a really good player for just fish heads and rice and get that back. So, you know, again, doesn't everything revolve around, are we going to be a luxury tax team?
I think so. I think that's the big question right now, just because, as you said, you're going to have to spend money to bring in quality talent. And I think one of the big things that the Hawks is missing is kind of that veteran voice in the locker room. You'd love for it to be a guy like Bogey or Clint, but we saw last year, that's just not what their role was. And so in order for them to do that, they're going to have to spend money. And that means that they will, as you said, have to dip their toe into the luxury tax. So I'm definitely agreeing with you on that one there.
So, you know, again, and I don't think that there's anything to this, but, you know, there's been a lot of people that have brought up the idea of DeJounte Murray, you know, being traded. And I asked this question about the idea of, and I talked about this a while back on my show, just if you're going to trade Murray, is it better that you trade him sooner than later? Because, again, if you can't get a contract worked out, obviously then you have to figure out what you're going to do based upon things you've given up, you know, as far as draft capital wise. And obviously if it's, you know, if it's not working and you got to move on from him, but do you think that there's any fire to the smoke of the idea of moving on from DeJounte Murray if the right package comes along?
I think you can never say never. If it's the right package, you have to do it, right? Regardless of how much you value
that. That's true for any player. Yeah, that's true for any player.
Yeah. So if it's the right deal, you have to take it. But it's hard for me to see them ready to move on from him so soon. I really do think Quinn Snyder and the rest of that coaching staff want to build out and see what both Trae Young and DeJounte Murray can do and try to turn it into the tandem that people imagined, that pick your poison type of offense. I think, you know, bringing aboard somebody like Igor Kokoschkov, who you've seen work as a head coach, he was in Phoenix. You know, again, Mike Bray, Brittany Donaldson, she worked with point guards in Detroit. I think bringing some of those coaches aboard will, you know, potentially help them develop this team, that backcourt tandem, into what I think they want them to be. But as far as Murray, I think he's kind of one of those trade deadline ideal candidates in the sense that he's on an expiring contract. So a team that's looking to make their push into the playoffs might want to take a gamble on him at that point. So I would say it would probably be better to wait if they decide that they want to move on from him, especially if they can't get a deal done.
I want to put your prognosticator hat on and you know, get your idea of, do you think that they offer Murray a contract over the summertime? Have you heard anything about, he's kind of adamant about becoming a free agent because he could, I mean, even though he can't get the extra year with a club, but he could probably come out better even with the new CBA, the way it's worded. He could probably come out better if he becomes a free agent and gets a deal. Have you heard anything about the idea of they're going to offer him a contract, or they're going to, you know, he's going to walk into free agency? I mean, what do you think kind of his plan is for the next year here?
To be honest, I haven't heard a lot about where they are in terms of talking to him about deals or anything like that. But I can only go off what we've heard him say, and he's excited to try and work this thing out with Trae Young and try to get something going. I do think the season, when you think about it, was a little bit short for them to try and make something work. There was just so much upheaval, and I think they need a little bit more of a figuring out period. So I'm just going to go off of what he said to us in the public, and that's that he wants to try and get this thing going and make it work.
So, Lauren, the other thing is, you know, and this will forever, and whether it's fair or unfair, it's the perception is that when Trae Young made the statement a couple years ago that, well, we don't really care about the regular season, it's all about the playoffs and this, that, and the other, fair or unfair, that ring is going to hang around the neck of Trae Young because they have played so poorly in the regular season. Is the idea of Quinn Snyder getting this team off to a fast start, getting them off to a good regular season? Because, again, the reason we have kind of put ourselves in the position that we have the last couple of years, even though we played Boston well, but again, because we didn't take care of our business in the regular season, we were kind of forced into some of the about having to beat the Heat and go up against Boston. How important is this regular season going to be for this club and Quinn Snyder?
I definitely think it's going to be important for them to get off on the right foot. Just as you said, we've seen them just not perform to the standard that we know that they're capable of. They've underperformed, in fact, in the last two regular seasons. So I think Quinn is going to want to come out and get them going on the right foot and, you know, hopefully turn things around in a way that they can get into the playoffs in a better positioning than having to fight their way in.
What is the role of Nick Wrestler as you know it right now? I mean, forget what we've like that. What do you think his role is right now as we're into the off season with this organization?
I'll just say I do think he has a voice, and I do think his opinion, it's, I think, naive to think that it doesn't, considering, you know, what his last name is. But I do think they have a lot of voices in that room, so it'll be interesting to see how loud Landry Fields and Kyle Korver's voices are when they're making that final pick.
Lauren Williams, she is the beat reporter for the Atlanta Hawks for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of her work. And it's always a collaborative and communicative discussion with Lauren. So we made sure we get those if words in there. Lauren's on Twitter, at Williams Lauren L. Lauren, as always, appreciate it. Thanks for a few minutes tonight. We will talk again here soon.
Awesome. Thank you, JC. Appreciate you.
You got it. When we come back from the top of the hour, it will be the Falcons fly. Falcons have announced their schedule for practices coming up in training camp. We'll talk about that plus some other things up next. Chuck Reed in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.